You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Halfway home on this Monday, although it's the final hour along the network. But then again, Jacksonville's going to take us for the full four as well. So, you know, in the five markets that we're in, two of the five are going to carry all 4 hours now.
How about that?
The 239 and the 904. They're going to take the whole show. For the rest of you, it's the final hour. Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Our poll question today is your level of confidence in your team's front office heading into the NFL draft Thursday night. What is it? We gave you three choices.
And we're all over the map. Somewhat confident leading the way right now with 46%, extremely confident 33%, and not confident at all bringing up the rear.
Hold on a second. Four out of five NFL fans are somewhat to very confident in their team heading into the draft.
Yes.
Seriously?
That's what they're saying.
Man, I hate when this Hope Springs Eternal crap takes over your guys' vote. Hey,
no offense, David. If you're not confident now, when are you ever going to be confident in your team? Because the season's going to start, and for a lot of you, it's going to go terribly wrong.
How can you complain about your team and the people running it all the time, and then in a few hours before the draft go, "Well, we're going to do a great job this year"? Really? Is your team the Baltimore Ravens? Is your team the Philadelphia Eagles? Otherwise, how great of a job are they going to do?
I mean, even the Niners went up and drafted Trey Lance.
Three firsts for Trey Lance. They had the one draft in 2017 where they had two first-round picks. They took Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster. Okay? Honestly, the Niners have wasted five first-round draft picks in the last seven drafts. Five out of seven, they've absolutely wasted. A teenage wasteland, that's the San Francisco 49ers' first-round drafts. That's what they are.
Look at you.
I'm fired up. You know what got me going?
Coming right from the hip with a little Who reference. I like it, David.
Well, first off, do you know what's been going on the last few days? All of the music and the medleys that are tied into the Stanley Cup playoff promos. You know, what's the Kiss Me? Have you seen the Kiss Me promo? In which, you know, guys kissing the cup.
Right.
You know, and you would think that, you know, that song and that artist would not be associated with the rough and toughest trophy to win in sports, Stanley Cup playoffs. But when you realize, you know, when you get to kiss the cup, what it means, great promo, the speechless promo where guys win the cup and they get asked about it and they can't talk.
I actually love the one with the one that's just come out this year, the couple, the Avs fans who watch every game together and they miss the cup when they won it. And it says they broke up, but it was mutual. I found that commercial to be hysterical. Between that and Goodell and Eminem doing the draft promos on, I mean, even my wife, we saw that, and she goes, "Is Goodell trying to get his Q rating up there, or what's going on here?"
No doubt. No doubt. But here's the other thing that got me going. So, young Trent, still 24, right?
Yes.
Nicest guy that, you know, that we know, that we're around on a regular basis. And, you know, he's skinny. He's like 148 pounds. You know, he was a swimmer, for goodness sakes. And so, you know, I think he, you know, he doesn't even have peach fuzz on his face. I don't think he's got three hairs on his chest. You know, that we love him. But when you think... But you don't think tough when you think Trent, even though he's licked cancer. Okay, so he's clearly tough. But when you look, he's such a nice guy, boy next door, you know, right, that's his image. We were just talking about, we're going to do a draft broadcast Thursday night on Twitch, twitch.tv/Miller and Moulton. We'll be live for like 4 hours, like 7:30 to 11:30. And so we started talking about what we're going to be drinking on Thursday night. And, you know, Mark's, you've got a collection of, you've got a little bit of booze.
I have a lot of booze at my house. We have a full liquor cabinet, and I've become a bourbon drinker. I'm not nuts with it. I can't afford what I would like to have on my bourbon shelf, but I've got a decent amount of bourbons there.
And you collect your Kentucky Derby bourbon
bottles. My Woodford bourbons, we're a few deep in those as well.
Right.
In case things ever get hairy, I can crack into those bottles, David.
So Mark's the, you know, sophisticated drinker of the show. Me, I'm a wuss. I'll have my four Miller Lights, one per hour. You know, still making sure that if somehow they pull me over in my own house, that I don't fail
That is big of you to make sure you, in case.
My own house.
Right.
Right. I don't want to fail a breathalyzer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm a big drinker. And so then I said, hey, Trent. And in fairness, I might as well use the voice that I sometimes mock others with. I said, hey, Trent. Okay. And this is me, not Trent. So I'm not mocking Trent. I'm mocking me. Hey, Trent, what are you going to be drinking in the draft? And out of nowhere, I mean, I was thinking like literally Kool-Aid, fruit punch. He goes, Black Velvet.
Right.
Wait.
Showing his age and his pocketbook all at the same time.
And so then Mark, you know, trying not to make fun of him, goes, oh, well, do you drink that with, you know, what were the options?
Coke or 7-Up?
7-Up. And he goes, oh, no, an energy drink. Whoa. Holy man.
Just a shot of Black Velvet and chase it with the energy drink.
And now we know how he beat cancer. It wasn't the chemo. It was what he drinks for the draft. Holy mackerel. Cancer didn't have a chance against that young man.
None whatsoever.
My goodness. Whew.
Tougher than we thought.
I'm not drinking with him.
Tougher than we thought. Should have known. I've known his old man a long time. So I should have known he was a little tougher than we thought.
Whew. Man. Oh, he'll be joining us as well Thursday night. You know, that's another $7-8 in the coffers for Trent. You know, doing another show. I mean, it just, you know, more... Mark will feed him some ramen noodles on a Thursday night before the draft just to make him feel at home. And, okay.
What should your level of confidence be if you're a Miami Dolphin fan going into this draft?
That's a great question. You have a first, a second. You don't have a third and a fourth. So, well, all right. Can I answer it with some questions?
Sure.
If you're a Dolph fan, you're looking for two starters in the first two rounds, right?
Yes.
Okay, at what positions? Offensive line, right?
O-line.
Got to get an offensive lineman.
And
here's a question. Do you want to double down on the O-line? Do you want to just double down on the O-line?
Look, if I'm Miami, I'm... pretty desperate. Not desperate. That's the wrong word. I'm looking in a big way to trade out of that pick if someone's willing to trade up to that spot.
At 21?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because now, because of the no third and no fourth. I want to acquire another pick because they need help on both sides of the ball right now. As banged up as their defense is going into the year, you could argue that a D lineman would be a necessity as much as an O lineman, David.
Okay. Here's the thing though. Are you looking to trade out of the first round entirely? Like somebody, let's just say Penix or Nix, one of the quarterbacks falls and somebody decides, you know what? I'm going to jump in at Miami's spot and grab the quarterback. I'm getting ahead of Philly because you never know what Philly's going to do. And not that they're going to draft a quarterback, but that they may trade out. So you just decide, you know what? Miami doesn't have a third and a fourth. I'm going to do a deal with the Dolphins. Like here's what I think is more realistic, Mark. Somebody like the Packers just wants to slide up four spots. And they've got two twos and two threes, two sixes and two sevens of which to trade with. And if you're, you know, if you're Miami, if you can get the 91st pick of the draft by trading down four spots, there's your late third. Huh, okay. Thank you very much. And you move down to 25.
That would be an ideal situation for them.
You know, Trent's Lions. I mean, I'm curious if you're the Lions, how many players do you think you are away? You need a corner, right? You need an edge rusher. Well, at 29, there's a good chance. Like, let's just say there's three edge rushers and the third one's still on the board at 21. You call the Dolphins up and say, hey, I want to move up eight spots.
And what's crazy is I've seen a bunch of Lion mocks, just to bring up, of them taking the center from Oregon. Of Powers Johnson still being around there.
Which is funny because to me, if he's on the board at 21, I think the Dolphins just gobble him up. Like, I don't think he makes it to 29. I think a defensive player makes it to 29 for Detroit. I think there's a chance Kool-Aid McKinstry or Chop Robinson. Like, I'm betting one of those two is going to fall to Detroit at 29, and they're going to take him. But, Mark, if Powers Johnson falls to 29, I think something has gone horribly wrong. And the Lions will giggle and go, wow, we're the Ravens now all of a sudden. Guys fall 12 spots to us who shouldn't fall.
So, where are you with the Dolphins? Double down on offensive linemen?
I'm taking Powers Johnson. My ideal draft is Powers Johnson at 21. And then I can be bought in the second round. That's my ideal draft. Unless you can convince me that, you know, Frazier, the West Virginia guard, Graham Barton, the Duke tackle slash guard, that I can trade down a handful of spots, pick up an extra pick or two, and still get one of these guys. Okay. You know, what Pat talks about all the time, knowing where guys are going to go. But if Powers Johnson is on the board at 21, I'm done. Because he's starting for me. Remember, I think we can go to a Super Bowl. I'm a Dolphin front office executive. You know, I need to be drug tested.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Minutes past the hour. Miller and Moulton, thanks so much for being with us. MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. So we have our standard poll question, and that's out, and that's your level of confidence in your team's front office with the impending NFL draft a little more than 72 hours. You know, high level of confidence, level of confidence, a little better than that maybe. Scale of 1 to 10, 6, 6.5. And then, no way, man, we're going to blow it. That's what we do. So apparently, 8 out of 10 of you are somewhat to really confident in your team in the NFL draft, which has Miller and Moulton pulling you to the side going, have you watched the draft recently? Okay, really? Okay. But also, we had a side question. Buddy of mine, Joe Buck's stats guy, Ed Sfida, pride of Philadelphia, big Philadelphia sports fan, everything Philadelphia. He's rooting for the Knicks against the Sixers because he's a huge Villanova fan. And to him, they're the Villanova Knicks with Brunson and DiVincenzo and Hart. And so he's rooting for the Knicks over the Sixers. I said, you lost your fan card. You're going to have to move from the city. You're done. And so we're just kind of asking you, 21,000 on the text line, you know, can you have so many guys from your favorite college team that you actually now root for that as your favorite pro team? Even if it's against the team that you grew up rooting for. Some people have defended him. Most people think he has to move.
I don't think you can do that.
No. I think he has to move across the bridge even. He's got to go across the Whitman, and he may have to call New Jersey home, I think. He's got to leave the state, I think.
It may be a law.
Even though the Sixers and the Flyers both train across the bridge, but anyway. So that's like our side question. 21,000 text line, let us know whether he's allowed to stay or he has to move. But NBA, NHL playoffs, home teams are 14-0. What the heck?
Part of me wants to just put money on all the road teams in game two.
That's interesting. All right. Just for the heck of it then. First off, we got a couple more game ones tonight in hockey. Out west, Vegas and Dallas, LA Kings and Edmonton. Third year in a row, Kings and Oilers, by the way. Edmonton's won both series, but the Kings usually put Edmonton in a hole, and then they rally and win it late. So we also have Toronto and Boston. Can we just sidebar? I know we've got 9 Maple Leafs fans listening, but come on, this is the most fascinating of all the NBA and NHL teams that are playing in the first round. Is there a team that would get completely blown up more so than the Leafs if they lose in the first round?
Well, one, it's really difficult to blow an NBA team up.
I mean, it is.
I mean, it's really difficult to do. It can be done, but in Toronto's case, they're going to get rid of top-level players if this doesn't work.
Yeah, like probably all but one.
Right. Like Austin Matthews can stay,
and everybody else
we can trade.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that happens in the NBA, Mark, is that when teams lose early, star players decide, yeah, I'm out of here. And that is the risk in Philadelphia and Milwaukee. I mean, that just is. That's the risk there. That Embiid and Giannis, if their teams go out in the first round, even though technically Embiid's Sixers are a toss-up series with the Knicks. But let's be honest. If the Sixers can't beat the Knicks without Randall, I mean, seriously? How far is this group going to go? But well, that's the risk in the NBA. And I'm trying to think out west of the teams. You know, I mean, the Lakers could be blown up.
But again, the players blow it up, not the organizations. Right. It's just.
Right. Right. Like the LA Clippers could get blown up. I mean, Kawhi is, I think, a player option. Paul George can be a free agent. You know, the Clippers could totally get blown up if they lose to Dallas in the first round. Can I just say, we talk about gambling a lot. We happen to enjoy it. You know, we don't bet a ton of money. We make a lot of bets, but we don't bet a ton of money. We want to.
We just don't have it. If we had the money, we would be, Mattress Mack, watch out if we had it.
We'd be Mizuhara. We'd be somebody's interpreter. We'd bet so much money, right? But this is where sometimes if you pay attention to sports, it really comes back to bite you. The Clippers finished the season a mess. Kawhi's not going to play. The Mavs finished the season great. Luka and Kyrie are best buds now. Luka's going to finish second probably for the MVP. He just averaged 34-9-9 per game. And the Clippers were up 30 in the middle of the third quarter.
Dallas scored 30 in the first half.
Right.
30.
Right.
For the half. They had 8 points in the second quarter, David.
Right. I mean, everything that you've been paying attention to in the sports world, it made no sense. None. How could a team with Luka and Kyrie score 8 points in a quarter?
8.
Right. That's our, listen, we'd love for you to, you know, gamble. But only do it if you can afford to lose, because it just, it makes no sense sometimes. And by sometimes, we mean 6 out of 7 days a week. Man, nuts. All right. All right. The court's back in session. Okay.
Well, but at the same time, you know, I had the stat earlier. Cleveland's 17-1 when they win game one of a series. So they're obviously in a great spot. The Knicks and Philly will be interesting to see how, if Embiid's as banged up as they're talking, that series could be over as well. Because no Embiid, they're done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they may win a couple games, but yeah. Considering that when he was on the floor, they were like a plus 18, and when he was off the floor for 12 minutes, they were like a minus 25. Not that he's important or anything. You know, with him, they're probably the only team that can beat the Celtics. Without him, they're not a playoff team. We digress. But, so yeah, hopefully some road teams will start winning. You know, Pat Riley's phrase from 40 years ago, a series doesn't begin until a road team wins a game. Well, home teams are 14-0 in the NBA and NHL playoffs. It's like, damn. I like your theory, though, about how about we just bet road teams? Because the other thing that's happened, Mark, particularly in the NBA, like these games haven't been, you know, there's been two close games
right.
So far. You know, the Knicks-Sixers was a 7-point game, and it was that close throughout. I mean, teams went on runs and what have you. But that's a close game. That's a 2-point game with 3 minutes to go. That was a good game. And Oklahoma City, New Orleans last night was a 2-point game, and it was close throughout. But, I mean, these other games have been just, you know, once the Lakers' initial run wore off, I mean, Denver just Heisman'd them.
And by the time the second half came, it was Denver doing what they wanted to do in that game. I mean, it was, I think the Lakers had a slight lead at the half, and then Denver came out in the third quarter and completely took control of that game.
And did you see how tired LeBron and AD were at the altitude and the heavy minutes they were playing? And LeBron's 74 years old. I mean, he was cooked.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Minutes until the top of the hour. John Harris to talk a little NFL draft, hopefully coming up in just a few moments. If you missed John Forslund last hour at this time, that's why you go to millerandmoulton.com. Download what it is that you missed on the show. You know, never mind some of the really educational segments we had today, like what it is that Trent drinks during the draft, Black Velvet, an energy drink.
I don't know what one's worse for your stomach.
Man, kid's tougher than he appears.
Exactly. Maybe that's where all that grit comes from.
But the draft, obviously, in 3.5 days. So we're at like, 80 plus hours. And they've resumed, by the way, the Heritage in Hilton Head. Scottie Scheffler is going to wrap up his fourth win in his last five tournaments. The other tournament, he missed the six-footer on 18, and he finished second. Slouch. John Harris is kind enough to join us right now. Now, he's busy with the Texans. You know, he's part of their media network. But he's also footballtakeover.com, footballtakeover.com. He loves the draft, has been into the draft. Follow John on X, the letter J, Harris Football, the letter J, Harris Football. John, it's David and Mark. Good morning. Hope the family's well. How are you?
Yeah, doing well, boys. It's so good to hear y'all's voice. I know that means that start of the football season or draft, and either one of those, I am down for at any moment.
All right, where does this draft begin with you? Does it begin at 4, or is Washington, since they had their Top Golf meeting, going to do something silly and blow this draft up at 2?
Top Golf meeting. You know, I don't think, I mean, look, we know Washington's taking a quarterback. It's just a matter of which one. And I think that's where it gets sort of interesting, because take Jaden Daniels. A lot of people expect him to take Jaden Daniels. I think he's the second best quarterback in this draft. That may fit NFL teams' thoughts. Like, okay, how do we feel about Drake May? How do we feel about J.J. McCarthy? Do we need to talk to the Patriots? Can we sweeten the pot? As Elliott Wolf talked about this weekend, well, you're going to have to give us a sweet deal because we're not just taking any deal. Oh, okay, great. Because I thought we could swindle you for a fourth. Like, we already knew that. We knew that the Patriots were going to, if they were going to move, they were going to end up having, a pretty boffo deal to move out of number three. So if it ends up being Drake May or even J.J. McCarthy, now all of a sudden there might be a couple teams going, wait a second, we have Jaden Daniels as our best quarterback after Caleb Williams, or maybe our best quarterback. Get in this thing and go get up there and make a deal. Denver, Las Vegas, those two, Minnesota. I think they're sitting 11, 12, 13. I think Minnesota's at 11, Denver at 12, Las Vegas at 13. All three of those teams are like, hey, wait a second. We didn't think Jaden Daniels would be at three. Call Elliott Wolf and let's give him that deal. And Minnesota is probably the most prepared to do that, given that they traded with Texans to get pick 23. So they've got the two first-rounders that other teams aren't going to be able to offer to the New England Patriots. So I think it's a matter of which quarterback at number two. But to me, I think the intrigue starts at three. Will the Patriots make a deal? It really starts at four and what deal Monty Ossenfort is going to make. I would imagine Monty is going to try something like he did last year. Trade down to 12 with the Texans, trade back up to six to get his guy. I think they could do a similar thing, trade down to 11 Minnesota, maybe get back up, trading to either 5, 6, 7, whatever the case might be, just to pick up a little bit more draft capital, but to go get the wide receiver that they sorely need there in Arizona after trading Hollywood Brown, trading Rondale Moore and letting Hollywood Brown walk. They need a receiver badly. So it's kind of where it starts. Is Arizona going to make a deal? If Arizona doesn't make a deal, they pick their wide receiver, all of a sudden, okay, does Los Angeles stay where they are? Because now they need a wide receiver, and they're fearing if they move, they could lose their wide receiver. So I can see a ton of activity, and then I can see teams just kind of staying pat going, you know what, we're good. We want to make sure we get our quarterback. We want to make sure that we get our wide receiver. And then all chaos starts to break loose once you get to 10-11, where you got the Jets and the Vikings and what they're thinking.
We're talking the NFL draft with John Harris, who covers the Texans on a regular basis. And John, I kind of feel like CJ Stroud is hanging over all the quarterbacks, especially all those not named Caleb Williams, that it's like with what he did last year, which is the exception, not the rule, but with what he did last year, aren't all these quarterbacks being compared to him in terms of somebody who could step in and take an organization that is struggling and make them good?
Yeah, I absolutely think that, and that's not fair. Not fair at all. It's not fair to the organization. It's not fair to the player. I mean, I don't want to say it's easy for us in Houston, but it's easy for us in Houston to say, well, you know, look, there were some pieces that were being added. We were a better team than people thought. And so CJ got plopped into a pretty good situation, and obviously – with further draft capital, with Will Anderson, Tank Dell, et cetera, people know the deal. CJ is, you put it best, and that was exactly the thought that came to mind. I mean, he's the exception more than the rule. I mean, look at the first-round quarterbacks that have been drafted since, not named Joe Burrow, since 2019. I mean, you've got Joe Burrow, and then you've got Trevor Lawrence, who's kind of on he's on a cliff, but I don't know whether the cliff is sending him into a pot of gold or it's sending him off the cliff. We don't know that yet in Jacksonville just yet. So how many highly ranked quarterbacks have come into the NFL and done anything close to what CJ did? I mean, none. I mean, it's one of the greatest rookie seasons of all time. But I think the philosophy of maybe what the Texans did, and that was, hey, get your quarterback protected. He's got weapons. I think the one team that has an opportunity, now they haven't been down in the dregs with us the last few years, they've been good, but they've been average good, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. You put one of these guys that's got some ability in that offense, led by Kevin O'Connell, with the wide receivers that they have, assuming that Justin Jefferson is signed and brought back. A defense that last year under Brian Flores started to show some life. Man, the Vikings could be one of those teams to turn it around. You know, the Commanders are sitting there too going, hey, man, we've got one of the better defensive tackle duos. You know, we've got some defensive players. You know, we've got Terry McLaurin. You know, we've got Jahan Dotson. You know, we've got some pieces. A lot of luck happened. And then we needed a rookie season from the gods to take this team to 10-7. That's how good CJ was. I've studied these guys, backwards and forwards, and there isn't one of them. And I would argue Caleb Williams, too, that even come close to throwing the football like CJ Stroud. But the magic of CJ was really behind the scenes, how he connected with his teammates, how he led these veterans, how the veterans, it took like not even a month for the veterans to step in a huddle and go, what he says, I'll follow him. Laremy Tunsil, y'all know Laremy. He's a guy that thinks on his own. He does his own thing. He is out on Laremy Island. Whatever C.J. Stroud said, Laremy Tunsil followed. That told me everything. That said, wow, this kid's got something. He's got some magic to him that is more than just the way he throws the football. So which one of these quarterbacks has that and then can throw the ball like C.J.? So it is definitely the exception to the rule, but I would imagine there are a lot of teams in draft rooms going, this guy could be our next C.J. Those words have been said in a draft room. It's just which draft room have they been set in, and which draft room is now setting its quarterback up for failure because none of these guys are at that particular level of C.J. Stroud right now.
Boy, John, everything you said, just if I'm a Bears fan right now, I'm freaking out drafting Caleb Williams because those are the things that we hear he doesn't possess, that he doesn't get along with his teammates, that he's his own guy and he's a free thinker, but it's not necessarily a guy that people follow. So how scared are you about Caleb Williams?
You know, I'm not as scared as others. I just, you know, look, he's a little different. He's a little odd, but that he'll end up being a massive problem in Chicago unless he really wants to be. If he goes there and just decides, you know what, this just isn't my thing, Chicago's not my thing, you know, I'm not into this. But I'm not as worried about Caleb Williams really going to Chicago for those reasons. I think he's going to end up being a pretty solid quarterback, if not a great quarterback. He's got weapons. One of the biggest things. I think the biggest thing for Caleb is whether that offensive line can protect him well enough. Because his modus operandi is, I get a little pressure, I'm going to fade back and try and make some magic happen. And Pac-12 defenses are not NFL defenses. So some of the things that he got away with in the Pac-12, he's not even going to have a chance to get away with. So he's got to think quicker. That, to me, is the biggest thing for him. He's got to think quicker. He can't get to the top step of his drop and then go, okay, now let's look. No, he's got to have these things happen a lot faster than he has. And his first thought can't be get out of Dodge. His first thought has got to be, where's my hot? Hit it now. So IQ, making sure he gets rid of the ball, quicker decisions, those things are going to be what determines to me Caleb Williams' fate. Now, if those things aren't happening and he has a year like Bryce Young, how does he handle that? Bryce handled it by being quiet, didn't say a whole lot, wasn't going to, you know, shake the tree leaves about things he was upset about. He just kind of put his head down and kept grinding. And by the end of the year, he started seeing a little bit of progress with Bryce. If that happens for Caleb, how will he react? I see, I think some people say, well, look, he reacted like a chump. I don't know. I'm curious to see how he's going to do that. And this goes back to C.J. Stroud, too. One of the things that they caught right away, D'Amico Ryans as a head coach is the perfect guy for C.J. Stroud. He's been in the fire. He's a positive guy. He is really the energy that drives the machine here in Houston. Is that Matt Eberflus in Chicago? How do you get from Matt Eberflus? I don't know. I don't know. That's not the vibe I get. I think that could end up being something that down the road ends up being an issue with Caleb Williams. But if you put Caleb Williams with D'Amico Ryans, the best out of Caleb Williams that you had possible, because they would keep him positive. He would stay He would keep from lashing out at people. He would be a leader. D'Amico would encourage him to be a leader. I think that's going to be one of the issues for wherever Caleb Williams goes, obviously Chicago. Does Matt Eberflus have that?
John, we only have about a minute left. Let's just assume Caleb goes one, Jaden Daniels goes two. Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Penix, Nix, of those four, would you be willing to trade a lot of assets for any one of those four? Or do you not think they're the answer?
Long and hard about, but I would not do it. I even said this to Paul Allen in Minnesota when he asked me, would you trade X for J.J. McCarthy? And I said no. And I know Minnesota is pretty high on J.J. McCarthy. I was just like, there's a limit to what I would give up. Now, would I trade up? Yes. Up the farm. I'm not giving up the farm for Drake May, but I like him. To me, there's a separation between Drake and J.J., J.J., and then Nix and Penix after that. So the problem is you get desperate. You get desperate, dumb stuff. And dumb stuff might end up being a massive trade that you'll regret once you get that guy and go, whoa, he wasn't the guy. To me, I would do it. I would think long and hard about Drake May. The others, I wouldn't give up significant draft capital to go up and get it.
He's John Harris. He's part of the Texans Media Network, and he also is a big part of footballtakeover.com, footballtakeover.com. Follow him and his work on X at the letter J Harris Football, the letter J Harris Football. John, safe travels. Thanks for your input, and we look forward to talking to you again in the offseason.
Absolutely, boys. Appreciate it. Take care. We'll talk soon.
John Harris, who's been in Houston for a long time, joining us once again here on Miller and Moulton.
So he likes the big three, likes McCarthy, or likes the big two, likes McCarthy, doesn't so much like the rest.
He likes May more than McCarthy. So he's got them ranked the way that we hear they're going to go. Caleb, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. He would not trade a ton of assets to move up for J.J. McCarthy. I don't see where the Vikings have given themselves a lot of hand here. They let Kirk Cousins walk. They don't have a second-round pick. They have two first-round picks, 11 and 23. If they want one of the top four quarterbacks in this draft, they're likely going to have to move up. Tell me where they have the leverage in this situation.
They have none. And both Arizona and
the Chargers.
The Chargers at five know it. And the Giants very well may take a quarterback, so are they going to make that move?
Miller and Moulton. Can't wait. Thursday night. Can't get here soon enough, baby.